Oh, Pastor Steve Waldron with Biblical Archaeology today. Forgive my throat. Yeah, I'm wrestling with a little something. I don't think you'll catch it over the podcast, though. Pray you don't. Anyhow, let's get started. We're looking at Babylon in the Bible, literally from Genesis 11, Genesis 10, on through the end of Revelation. You've got Babylon. And so let's just take a look from archaeology. We're at the Wycliffe Dictionary of Biblical Archaeology, one of our many resources we've used here over the years. This is season 56, episode number 7. We're just so glad you're here. Please share with your friends and family, church family. If you haven't done it already, please leave us a 5-star review, or maybe on a different platform, leave us a 5-star review. It just helps people find us. So God bless you. Let's get started. And so Babylon in the Bible. Numerous biblical references to Babylon relate to the period of the subjugation of Judah by Nebuchadnezzar, also known as Nebuchadrezzar, even though some think that's his twin. Other passages are more general, such as the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11. It's surely to be associated with the ziggurat of Babylon. Surely, I don't know if it 100%, but maybe. In the Revelation of John, Babylon is an eschatological symbol. Limited contributions have come from the excavation itself. Little First Dynasty material has direct significance for Bible study. The attempts to associate Amraphel with Hammurabi have been abandoned. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you read Bill Cooper from the Creation Science Movement UK, they may be resuscitated. He's pretty good on that. First Dynasty tablets dealing with the rental of an ox and the leasing of a field by a certain Abarama, son of Awel Ishtar, obviously do not refer to the Abraham of the Bible. Abarama or Abraham are essentially the same names, demonstrating the biblical name need not be treated as a coined term, father of the people, but represents nomenclature not unique to the ancient Near East. Now, I will say that in most archaeological circles, items like that are considered significant. Because let's say you're believing the JEPD, the Wellhausian hypothesis that Genesis was written, you know, by a few different hands, basically beginning maybe in the 7th century B.C., well, to know that that name existed in the time of Abraham is monumental. So I did want to say it's not something just to be looked over. Something like David, same thing, Jeremiah. Okay, two First Dynasty texts are important for the study of Sa-Gaz-Hapapru problem. One refers to the provision of clothing for Habaru mercenaries. The other, a letter written by Hammurabi, mentions the overseer of the Sa-Gaz. There is at present no way to relate these references to the Hebrews of the Bible. Now, I've done multiple podcasts on that in times past, and the evidence goes back and forth. Habaru, either with a P or a B. And again, starting in pre-Mosaic times, and then extending on to, you know, the early 1200s B.C. in Egyptian. You know, it seemed to be a generalized term for wonder. And that's exactly, I mean, Hebrews 11, what Abraham was. They had no certain city. So it may not mean it in every case, but it could mean it in some cases, maybe even many cases. And it may mean it in every case, but that's a whole deal. Excuse me. Thank you for listening through all this. I don't like to miss. Of more direct significance are materials from the Neo-Babylonian period, such as the Jehoiakim tablet, which is one of the biggest proofs of the Bible to me, and the ruins of the vaulted buildings at the royal citadel, identified as the Hanging Gardens of Nebuchadnezzar. Some say that was iffy. Some 300 clay tablets dating from 599 to 570 were found. This would be Daniel, the destruction, Ezekiel, so forth, Jeremiah. Many listed nations for captive, rations for captive peoples from Egypt, now Ashkelon, Phoenicia, Syria, Cilicia, Lydia, Elam, and Media. Now I'm going to have to stop and get a drink of orange juice and water here. Excuse me. I would say pray for me, but by the time you hear this, God willing, I'll have been long healed. Who knows where I'll be actually. But Cilicia, Lydia, Elam, Media, Persia, and Judah, including such staples as oil and barley. So that's significant. Often the status or craft of the recipient was designated. One tablet measuring approximately 3 by 6 inches, broken into 3 pieces, referred to King Jehoiakim of Judah as Jachin, king of Yehud. It mentioned his 5 sons and other Judean captives. This tablet, dated to 592 B.C., makes it clear that in exile, Jehoiakim was still regarded as the Judean monarch. And that's significant because of the seed of David, among other things, but that's primarily. The Cyrus cylinder, a baked clay barrel about 9 inches long, records the conquest of Babylon by Cyrus of Persia. We've done a few pods on that. It is amazing because you've got Isaiah 45 coming to life there. Despite the loss through breakage of several lines, the main account is clear. Having set forth problems encountered by Babylon priest in King Nabonidus, the text tells of Marduk seeking a righteous man, pronouncing the name of Cyrus, thus destining him to be ruler of the world. Now, I mean, see, that just blows my mind. Marduk, of all demons, is looking for a righteous man. I mean, because you're looking at Abraham among so many others, you know, David, Jesus, obviously. Babylon was taken without battle, and Cyrus welcomed by the populace. By royal edict, captives were released and permitted to return to their homelands. Sanctuaries restored, statuary and cultic implements returned to shrines. Much of what is related in the cylinder can be correlated with biblical accounts in Isaiah 44 and 45, proclaim Cyrus's actions as a fulfillment of Yahweh or Jehovah's will. Whether or not Cyrus realized this, under the law of return, some Jews journeyed to Jerusalem. By virtue of Cyrus's interest and encouragement in shrine restoration, Yahweh's temple was rebuilt. Next, we're going to come to the Babylonian Chronicles, and we may do multiple deals on that. So God bless you. Thank you again for being here. We're so appreciative of all our listenership. And may God richly bless you. As you know, the Word of God is absolutely true. Listen to our 2000 podcast. I think you'll come to that conclusion as well. We love you. Bye-bye.